well known that this is the parsha where Moshe Rabbeinu's name is absent from the moment Moshe was born in Parsha Shemot to the end of the Torah of Zos HaBracha. Every parsha, with the exception of this week's, has Moshe Rabbeinu's name. The Zohar tells us that it says in the parsha, V'ata titzave, V'ata hekrev, everything's V'ata, 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 you. We don't mention Moshe Rabbeinu's name because in next week's parsha, Parsha's Kisisa, Kadosh Baruch Hu comes down to speak to Moshe Rabbeinu after the Egozov, and after the breaking of the Luchos, Moshe Rabbeinu is told by Kadosh Baruch Hu that Hashem is ready to take him up to Eretz Yisrael by himself. He'll start his own nation, his own people, and he'll wipe out all of Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu, being a devoted leader, refused to do so, and says, if that's the case, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're willing to wipe out all the Am Yisrael, Micheni na misifrecha, erase my name from the Sefer Torah. And of course, Moshe Rabbeinu won the debate. HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed the people to stay on. But when a tzaddik says something, Micheni na misifrecha, erase my name, so it had to be fulfilled in some way. And it's fulfilled in this week's Parsha, Parsha's Titzaveh. And the idea of taking a person's name away, not being direct with him, referring to him as that guy. Remember when we were younger, we wanted to ignore someone. If he's trying to talk to you, you would say, I think I hear the wind blowing. I think I hear some sounds. It's demeaning. It's painful. A person loses his identity. On an extreme level, it's like the Nazis who gave numbers to the Jews in Auschwitz. It's demoralizing, it's objectifying. I'm guilty of this myself. I had an old friend of mine, went to camp together, and somehow someone gave him a disgusting, distasteful nickname. And we all, not because he deserved it, not that he did anything, for whatever reason it just came out that way, and that name stuck with him. And every time I think of nicknames, I think of this friend of ours. I can only imagine the pain that he experienced that summer and perhaps beyond. And to this day, I have friends who have nicknames that have stuck, nicknames that they actually like, but I refuse to call anyone by the nickname because of the horror that we had brought upon this friend of ours. And I was so moved by this. I always wanted to reach out to this person. I see him once or twice, but I never asked Mechila. I decided that this week, since I'm speaking on this topic, I figured it'd be the nice thing to do to reach out to him. And I did. I tracked him down. I found his email. And I asked for Mechila. He told me he's mocha me already years ago, and not only me, but all of us, many years ago after that summer. But the idea of getting called a nickname, the idea of being referred to as you, that guy, losing your name and your identity, it's a challenging experience. It's a hard experience. It's hard to go through, those who felt it. There's a Gemara in Gittin Daf Nun Ches Amud Aleph tells us that one time the children of Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha the Kohen Gadol, his son and daughter were held captivity. And the Goyim who took them in captivity wanted to bring them into the same room. They're both very beautiful, handsome and pretty children. They wanted them to have children to make them pregnant. Now they were brought into a room. This one stood in that corner, the other one stood in the other corner. It was a dark room. They didn't know that it was their brother and their sister. And the young boy says to himself, Ani Kohen, I'm a Kohen ben Kohanim Gadolim. I'm the son of the Kohen Gadol. To be involved with an Isha Shivcha on the other side of the room. And the sister in the other corner of the room was saying, Ani Kohenis Bas Kohanim Gadolim. I'm the daughter of the Kohen Gadol. and Nasei Le'Eved, I'm going to be married to an Eved in the other corner. And they both were weeping all night in their respective corners. And the moment the sun rose, started to shine inside the room, they recognized each other, that it was their brother and their sister. And they fell upon each other's shoulders and they began to cry until they both died. Ad sheyata nishmasan. And the Gemara is found in the Sugyas and Gittin about the Churban Beis HaMikdash. And on this, Yirmiyahu Navi lamented and he said the pasuk, Al Eila ani bochi, on these I cry, Eini eini yorde mayim. This terrible situation, they were crying from beginning to end. It's a sad, sad story. But the Ben Yehoyada, the Ben Yishchai, the Sefer Ben Yehoyada asks a very basic question. I understand. Initially, at night when the room was dark, they didn't know who was in the other corner. And they were crying and crying. They didn't want to be involved in a Dover Isser. But in the morning, when the sun shone in that room, and they recognized that it was a brother and a sister, and the Avera could have been even much more severe. The Arayos of brother and sister. They should have been singing and dancing to their self-control that they overcame a tremendous, tremendous Nisayon. So why were they crying? When they recognized each other, it wasn't cries of happiness. It was cries of sadness. Why were they crying? Says the Ben Yishchai, these sons and daughter, the son and daughter of the Kohen Gadol, Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha, his children, were Chassidim Gedolim. You know why they were so bothered? Because that night, the son, in his mind, referred to his sister as a shivcha. He called her a shivcha. He didn't know who it was. And the sister thought the other guy in the corner was an Eved Kenani. And even though they were mistaken in identifying who the other person was, they mistakenly called him an Eved and a shivcha. But they still were pogeya in the kavod of their father, the kavod of the kahuna, the kavod of the individual. And for that reason, they were crying because they called them a name that they didn't deserve. They were pogeya in the kavod of man, says the Ben Yishchai. And they were crying miserably till their death. So the name of Moshe Rabbeinu, whose name is erased from the parsha, is very hurtful and painful. But says the Ber Maim Chaim, taking this idea, adding a little bit to it, Atta was actually not erasing the name of Moshe, but it was actually empowering him. It was elevating him. It was that Moshe Rabbeinu Atta, you have the ability, you have the strength to help Am Yisrael. They did a terrible thing with the Chet HaEgel. But V'ata Titzava, you alone, Moshe Rabbeinu, have that capability. There's this Bechin of Atta, of you. When you speak to your Rav or your Rebbe, you call him in third person. How's Rebbe doing? Does Rebbe need any help? It's a reference of respect. You don't speak direct to your Rebbe. It's a certain amount of Ema and fear you have for your Rebbe. But when you speak in third person, how's Rebbe doing? There's a certain sense of distance. But if you're on the level of the Atta Titzaveh, and you become friends, you become contemporaries, colleagues. That's Va'ata means, you're on that same level. We say in every single bracha, Baruch Ata Hashem. How do we speak to Hashem? Blessed are you. We speak to HaKadosh Baruch as you. It should be HaKadosh Baruch who is full of bracha. Baruch Ata. So Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, when they wrote the brachas, they were telling us that when we engage in Kedusha like brachas, Baruch Ata, we're almost being perceived as equals to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where we could speak directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't need any intermediaries. We don't need any agents. We could speak Baruch Ata Hashem. We're on that same level. We're being elevated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's level. And so when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says back to Moshe Rabbeinu, Ve'ata and you, so he's elevating, he's empowering Moshe Rabbeinu. I had a couple families over this past Shabbos, and they were enlightening me about a program called Strength Finders, where it's the Bechin of Ata. Each person has their own strengths and skills and talents, and there's this whole test you take to help a person guide him what strengths to emphasize. where your weaknesses are, because we're not all the same. There could be great people who are not successful in school because school's not for them, not because they can't sit down. Not everyone's meant to be the same person. Some people are meant to be doctors, and some people are meant to be very, very focused and can focus in school. Some people know how to complete a project, but they need to move on to a new project and a new innovation. So they could create a project and hand it off to someone else and then start a new project and a new program and a new company. And this is an amazing program of finding people's strengths, because we all have strengths. We all have the atta, you. You're unique. You have something you're capable of accomplishing. You can make a difference with your unique skills that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you, and only you. A colleague of mine, Rabbi Eliyahu Wolf, is celebrating a bar mitzvah of his son this Shabbos. And I had an experience with him a number of years ago, which was very empowering to me. And I told him this once before. He had a very, very short few words he said to me, and it was amazing the impact that it had. And so this past week, I was actually invited to speak in YU to the Actuarial Society, Actuarial Team, about my experience when I used to work as an actuary in PricewaterhouseCoopers. I worked for a year and a couple of summer internships there. They wanted me to give a share on topics related to it and then some personal experience. So I gave that last night. So when I was in YU, I was traveling back and forth from Queens to YU. And I was finishing up before I started that year I spent at PwC. I was speaking to Rabbi Wolf, who was in the carpool together. And, you know, I knew if I wanted to stay learning further, I would have to get into the Kol HaElyon. Now, the Kol HaElyon is 15 elite learners of YU. Each year, three or four spots only open up. If you don't make it, you don't make it. And I knew that was the only way I'd be able to support myself learning in Kol HaElyon. So before I went to work, I hadn't finished Shmichi yet, and I said to Rabbi Wolf, you know, there's no way. Rabbi Wolf was in the Kol HaElyon. He was there among other great Talmidei Chachamim. I said to him, there's no way I could make it. There's no way I could get into the Kol HaElyon, so I need to go work. It's not for me. And he said to me, Yoni, you could definitely be in that Kol HaElyon. That's all he said to me. The fact that he believed in me, the Ata Titzava, he believed in me, you could do it. That stayed in the back of my mind. And when I started to work at PricewaterhouseCoopers, I kept that and kept them replaying it in my mind. Maybe I could do it. Maybe I could do it. And when I was ready to quit my job because I knew this wasn't for me, I said the only way I could go ahead and learn and eventually teach is if I could get into that Kol HaElyon. Now, I don't think I could do it, but Rabbi Wolf believes in me that I could do it. Maybe he's right. And so that's what happened. I quit. I came back to YU to finish my last year smicha. I applied to the Kol HaElyon, and with tremendous Siyata Dishmaya, I really didn't deserve it. But the Bechina process was mamish Siyata Dishmaya. Somehow, with some nais, I got in, but I only tried because Rabbi Wolf says, Ve'ata titzava, you have the ability, you could do it, and that gave me the power. So we should all realize to focus on our strengths, our talents, and skills. We all have a unique set. Ve'ata titzava, you could do it. You could accomplish so much in this world. Have a wonderful Shabbos.